Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I now turn today's meeting over to Dr. Howard Coe, Assistant Secretary for Health. You may now begin, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you, everyone, for joining us on this stakeholder call. We're just absolutely thrilled to have this level of interest on this very important area of public health, and I'm here to unveil this very exciting new product along with my colleague, Dr. Don Wright, who's the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Healthcare Quality, and Dr. Mandy Cohen, who's Director of Stakeholder Engagement for the CMS Innovation Center. You're going to be hearing from them in just a couple of minutes, and I'm also very pleased that Ronnie Jiva, the Healthcare Associated Infections Team Leader in our Office of Healthcare Quality, is also here. And this is a wonderful effort that we're very, very proud of on behalf of the department, and we're thrilled that you are here to share this release with us. We are officially unveiling a interactive computer-based video simulation training program called Partnering to Heal, Teaming Up Against Healthcare-Associated Infections. And we're very excited about this training because this is a critical area for public health. And patients, of course, enter a hospital expecting to get healthier and not sicker. But unfortunately, too many of them experience healthcare-associated infections that cause tremendous suffering and drives up costs and really complicates care for needy patients. This new training program teaches viewers how to prevent healthcare-associated infections and also does this in a very creative way by offering an insight into the culture of a hospital, which can be very complex. We know we want to change the culture of all hospitals so there is a culture of safety and a culture of quality and a culture of prevention. It's easy to say that from the outside, but once you enter a hospital culture and see it from the inside, you can often experience some challenges. So this simulation training allows the viewers, whether it's students, clinicians, or other healthcare personnel, the ability to take on the roles of various professionals inside a healthcare setting and to learn from outcomes of various decisions, both positive and negative. I've had the joy of seeing this session, this product, and also working through the options of playing the roles of various personnel in such settings, and also feeling the pressures of what it's like to work inside a complex culture that is represented by the hospital. And, of course, I can relate to this as a physician myself who is trained in multiple fields and have worked in many hospitals for many, many years. So we hope the release of this new training program, this video, will be helpful to you. We wanted to help improve quality, safety, and affordability of healthcare for all Americans. We are thrilled that this is going to help providers in infection control practices. And I'm very, very proud it's coming from our Office of Healthcare Quality that is headed by Dr. Don Wright, and also in collaboration with the CDC, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and, of course, CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We are also very pleased that this is a launch that is part of the new partnership for patients, a new public-private partnership that was announced very recently by the CMS Administrator, Dr. Berwick, and by Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. So we are hoping that this new product will be of service to you, and we unveil it and share it with you as evidence of our strong partnership with you and between government and community and hospital leaders and many others who care about patient safety and public health. So thank you for being part of this, and now I'm happy to turn this over to my colleague, Dr. Don Wright.
Thank you, Dr. Coe. As you mentioned, this is indeed an important day in the Office of Healthcare Quality and for many of our partners who requested and then participated in the development of Partnering to Heal, Teaming Up Against Healthcare-Associated Infections. Today, we're pleased to present this innovative, research-based product to our partners. Let me also say we're pleased to do this as a part of the new HHS Partnership for Patients, an initiative that like Partnering to Heal, demonstrates the power of teamsmanship to accomplish positive change. Teamsmanship is the basic premise of Partnering to Heal. It is a video simulation training that demonstrates the potential of individual and team effort to decrease infection risk. Likewise, teammanship is the approach that HHS has taken to develop the most far-reaching effort ever to combat infections associated with hospital care. The Office of Healthcare Quality and our partners within HHS and outside HHS began in 2008 to lay the groundwork for combating common preventable infections in acute care hospitals. At that time, HHS established a senior-level committee of clinicians, scientists, and public health leaders from across the department. Our goal was to identify new approaches to HAI prevention, including public-private collaborations. With scientists and program officials from across HHS, the HHS Action Plan to Prevent Healthcare-Associated Infections was developed. The first action plan iteration focused on acute care hospitals, where scientific information on prevention and the capacity to measure improvement are best developed. Thus, prevention of HAIs in acute care hospitals became phase one of the action plan. The action plan includes five-year goals for 9 specific measures of improvement in HAI prevention. It was released in June 2009. 2 subsequent iterations are under review and in development. Let me say I'm very pleased to say that we have seen some encouraging progress from efforts since 2009. Among them are decreases in the national incidence rates of some of the major HAIs, such as an 18% decrease in central line-associated bloodstream infections, a 13% decrease in invasive MRSA infections, and a 5% decrease in surgical site infections. I want to point out that Partnering to Heal, teaming up against healthcare-associated infections, is an outgrowth of the action plan's goal to train the next generation of healthcare providers and to foster a culture of safety in healthcare settings. The training was developed in response to your message about the need for training to address the cultural competencies and communication needs of professionals in healthcare settings. Consequently, the training targets teamwork, communication, hand washing, flu vaccination, and the appropriate use of antibiotics and medical devices. It uses a research-based computerized behavior model to engage healthcare providers and professionals in learning how their behaviors can affect infection risk and patient outcome. It also engages patients and visitors as an integral part of the infection prevention team. Users assume the identity of 1 of 5 characters, a physician, a registered nurse, an infection preventionist, a medical student, and a patient family member. The training may be used by individuals or by groups in facilitated training sessions. Accordingly, HHS offers the training online at no cost to users. I'd like to thank some special partners for their intensive and time-consuming contributions to reviewing the training for content and for application purposes. Dr. Jason Farley from Johns Hopkins University and the American Association of Critical Care Nurses. Linda Green, nurse and infection preventionist and a member of the Association of Professionals in Epidemiology and Infection Control. Lori Nurbon of the New Hampshire Patient Voices. Dr. Tara Palmore, NIH Clinical Center. Dr. Ed Septimus of the Hospital Corporation of America and IDSA. And Julie Nowinski, former special assistant to Dr. Howard Coe. As an additional attribute of Partnering to Heal, one that you won't read about in the press release or see on the fact sheet, but one that we've heard repetitively from the stakeholders who have viewed this product, is it really represents a fun way to learn. You know, it's my hope that later today all of you will take time to go to www.hhs.gov/partner-to-heal to view this product. And finally, let me say, once you've used this product, by all means, let us know what you think. You know that we have benefited from and value your partnership over time and do so increasingly as we progress to the next phase of team efforts to prevent and hopefully someday eliminate healthcare-associated infections.
Great. Thank you. This is Mandy Cohen, and I just wanted to start by thanking both Dr. Koh and Dr. Wright for their leadership in this area. And again, I'm a primary care doctor, and I work with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services with their new Innovation Center, and I've been privileged to be part of the launch of the new Partnership for Patients, which is a new public-private partnership between hospitals and doctors, nurses and pharmacists coming together with other health professionals, employers, patient advocates, health plans, and others to really work on improving the health and safety of all Americans. And so I was pleased to be part of the rollout of this initiative about a month ago with Secretary Sebelius, where we announced two broad goals for this partnership. And I'm pleased that this video is just another piece of this broad effort that HHS is undertaking to combat harm and reduce hospital readmissions across the country. So our first big goal, over the next 3 years, we're working to reduce any injuries that happen in hospitals by 40%. So over the next 3 years, we're hoping to reduce injuries by 40% and believe that we can save as many as 60,000 lives in the next 3 years working together. Our other goal is to cut down on preventable hospital readmissions by 20% over the next 3 years. And we believe not only will that save 1.6 million patients from complications, that we're also going to save money by doing this. We know that reaching these targets could save us as much as $35 billion over the next 3 years, and reducing, for Medicare in particular, $10 billion over the next 3 years. So we think this is a great opportunity to launch this partnership together with everyone doing their part to work towards those two big goals, to make care safer and to reduce costs. So with the Innovation Center in particular, which is where I work, we're making a large investment from our work, up to $500 million to continue to support work in this area and to expand great work that's been done by the Office of the Assistant Secretary and others. And very excited to have just another piece moving today of this partnership. So we look forward to your participation in that partnership. We hope that you will learn more about it if you haven't already. If you go to healthcare.gov today, you can click on our logo, which is right on the front page, and join us in this partnership. Already we've had over 1,500 hospitals sign on to say, yes, we're going to join you and everyone together to work on those two big goals of reducing prevention by 40% to reduce hospital injuries by 40% and to reduce readmissions by 20%. And so we look forward to having your participation in that as well. So please join us. Go today to our website and sign on to the Partnership for Patients. And as you will continue to hear more and more updates and hear about great products like the one today rolling forward over the next several years. So thanks again for inviting me on the call.
Thank you, Mandy. I just wanted to let everyone on the phone know that the web address to view the new video is www.hhs.gov/partneringtoheal. And, operator, we're ready to take questions.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your line and record your name when prompted. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. One moment, please, for our first question. First question comes from Minda Aguilhab from American Medical Student Association. Go ahead. Minda, you have an open line. You want to check your side to see if you're muted on your end?
I am muted. I can hear now.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I ask my question now?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, so these it's really great to hear about these wonderful training video simulations. We're really excited to take a look at them. I'm from the American Medical Student Association, and we, as long as the resident and student section of American College for Medical Quality, are working with med students and residents across the country who are working on quality curriculum and reforms at their medical schools and home institutions. We're interested to know what other initiatives Patient Partnership for Patients will launch and how else students and residents can become more involved.
Great. Thanks, Minda. This is Mandy Cohen again. Really appreciate your hard work and your enthusiasm, and actually have been really impressed with all the great work that you've been doing. And so there are great opportunities. As a young physician myself, I think that the work you're doing is so important, and as Dr. Wright mentioned too, in terms of training the next generation of doctors and about team care and how we're going to keep folks safe. So there's actually a lot of opportunity going forward for different types of training opportunities and such. So just continue a lot of stuff is sort of in the works right now, but again, stick close to the website and be sure to keep in touch with us for other opportunities as they roll forward.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Richard Longland. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, so thank you for taking my question. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Mirroring the last caller, I just wanted to applaud efforts here to tackle such a huge problem that affects so many people. I personally had a hospital-acquired infection. But in my case, perhaps it was unique. My symptoms appeared slowly over time, and what was tantamount to really a systemic bacterial infection from Mycoplasma pneumonia. So my question is unique to my own situation, but I also find by talking to other patients across the country through my own nonprofit, the Arthroplasty Patient Foundation, that in many instances these hospital-acquired infections can present not acutely, but sort of subclinically. So unfortunately, it takes a lot of work and time and tenacity to work and navigate through the healthcare system to find a doctor or diagnostician that can really identify these chronic bacterial infections. So are there going to be any changes or perhaps training in this program or next iterations that might help clinicians move to newer molecular diagnostics or tools that might have more capabilities to really drill down on some of these chronic bacterial infections?
Thank you, Richard, for your question. Let me tell you that the overall purpose and central theme of the video that we're presenting today is to develop a team of professionals at the hospital level working jointly to prevent these infections. We do feel that there is a team approach is appropriate and needed at the hospital level to reduce these infections, with every part of the healthcare team, including the patients, having a role to play. And that was the general premise and approach to eliminating healthcare-associated infections through this video. At the present time, we don't have any plans for a follow-up video, but certainly we'll be monitoring the success of this teaching tool as we move forward with further plans.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lori Nerbone with New Hampshire Patient Voices.
Hello, am I on the call?
Yes, you are, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just wondered if you could tell us if all hospitals across America and or hospital associations have received a notice about the Partnership for Patients and this initiative, or should we be reaching out to our local hospitals?
Lori, that's a great question. First, we did a very large effort to make sure that every hospital in the country and very large hospital associations knew about this effort. So when we launched, not only was the American Hospital Association with us at that launch and the Federation, but many individual hospitals as well. And so it's been terrific. Over the last 3 weeks since we've launched, we've had over 1,500 hospitals sign up to be partners, but that's only a fraction. We know that's only about a quarter to a third of all hospitals. So encourage you to work through your own networks to reach out to hospitals to say to join this partnership, to sign on to the pledge, to commit to these goals, and to work with us going forward. So we'd really appreciate, you know, you and all the folks on the call using your networks to bring folks into the partnership together, because we know this is going to take an effort from all of us and all, attacking this problem from all sides in order to really meet those goals. So great question.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Anna Rowe with APIC. Also, you may be muted at your end.
Oh, I don't believe I'm muted.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. I was just wondering, nobody has said, is there a cost to using this training video?
Anna, thanks for your question. And no, it is completely free to anyone that wants to use the video, and it will be available on our website.
So we can just download it from your website?
Correct.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Lynch with the University of Washington Harborview Medical Center. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks very much for taking my call. I looked at the quick clip of the video, and they look really wonderful and very well done, so congratulations on getting this all done. My question is more basic. I'm sort of just a frontline infection control doc here at Harborview in Seattle, and I would like to sort of just hear what your vision of how to implement these videos would be. Would it be something that you would anticipate clinicians and everyone on the floor sort of going through on a regular schedule? Would they be updated yearly, or would it just be sort of like a sort of in a new employee orientation sort of format?
This is Howard Koh. I can start with that. What we enjoy about this new product is it's very, very flexible, so it's really up to the user to take this training and apply it in as many creative ways as possible. You can use it for any new colleague who's joining your team. You can use it for attending rounds. You can use it to discuss morbidity and mortality. And I think once you get into it and adopt the different perspectives from various members of the team, you'll see how fascinating and very, very insightful it is. So we encourage feedback about what best works for you, because I think people here have gone out of their way to make it as flexible as possible.
That's great. Thank you very much.
And this is Ronnie Juva from the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health. There's also a facilitator's guide that's available for free, and it can be downloaded from the same website on which the training is posted. So the training is really flexible, designed for individual use or for small group use.
And this is Dr. Ryan. Let me add to that that I think in the early stages we were targeting health professional students, medical students, nursing students, and others in medical training. But since we've released this and tested it across the healthcare spectrum, we realize that the usage is much more broad than we originally had anticipated. And certainly new employee training and all other opportunities within the various institutions.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Kathy Campbell, the Contra Costa Regional Medical Center. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask about it being used in a group and approximately how long it takes. You sort of did talk about some of the uses with M&Ms and rounds and so on, which is very helpful. But how long is the video?
This is Ronnie again. I think for each character, there's five characters again. It takes about 50 minutes. To get through each character, and obviously you can go a little bit faster, you can go a little bit slower, but we've designed it just to be really flexible for there to be a lot of moments to stop and dialogue about each of the learning points. So as a self-paced learning tool, I think it takes about 50 minutes, but it's very open for discussion.
Great.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rita Smith, Suburban Hospital. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, ma'am.
Okay. First of all, I wanted just if the website could just be repeated again so that we can find the Partnering to Heal information.
Sure. It's www.hhs.gov/partneringtoheal.
Partnering to Heal. Great. And then I wanted to ask one other question, because there have been many discussions at Suburban about hospital readmissions and trying to reduce the number of readmissions within 30 days. Is there also work being done, though? My understanding is that a patient could be discharged and readmitted for a completely different reason and were dinged for that readmission, even though it doesn't have anything to do with the previous reason for their hospitalization. Can you answer that question, or is this not an appropriate question?
Sure, Rita. Well, this is Mandy Cohen again. I'm happy to follow up on that. So I should say a couple of things first. One, when we talk about our goal about reducing readmissions, those are ones that are preventable, those that
certainly
we see of readmissions within 30 days for the same diagnosis. And there are broad parameters that CMS has put out describing exactly what folks would consider readmissions that are preventable. But I think the larger point here is that this isn't about getting dinged or any of those types of things. This is really about focusing on what we can do both at CMS and HHS to support you in helping to prevent those readmissions that are preventable.
That are preventable. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what we're thinking about more is that we know that those transitions of care is where communication can break down and such. So we're focusing on there are grants that are out right now for folks to apply to about working on that transition process from
yeah.
hospital to home. And we think if we can focus there, support folks in that transition, that we'll get to our goal of reducing hospital readmissions by 20%.
Okay. Thanks very much for clarifying that, because that certainly makes a lot of sense, and I hope that the grants continue, because that does seem to be a good way to try to approach this whole, process of preventing, some of these readmissions that could be prevented. So anyway, good. It's good. Thank you.
Operator, we'll take one more question.
Okay. And that would be from Russ Olmsted with the APIC. Go ahead.
Very good. Thank you. Certainly we're delighted on behalf of our membership of infection preventionists to become aware of this announcement and the release of the simulation video. I think that's very important. I did have a question regarding, perhaps reflecting some of the questions we've had previously on this call, is there some discussion or consideration of engaging, especially schools for health professionals, in terms of incorporating a kind of moving this curriculum, maybe through simulation training or other content that addresses infection prevention for health professionals as they're being trained, so physicians and nurses and other allied health professionals, to really not add additional components but somehow weave infection prevention into that training so that we have providers who are really focused on preventing these complications?
Russ, thank you so much for your question and your comment. First of all, I want to thank you and APIC for being such a large part of this overall effort and for the contributions you made to the final product. We have reached out to the various Association of Health Professional Schools, from medical schools to osteopathic schools, nursing schools, pharmacy schools, about the possibility of incorporating this into their curriculum. One of the encouragements we received early on was flexibility and to make a product that could be used either in a solo setting by one student or could be adapted to a group teaching effort. And we think that the product we're releasing today meets both of those goals. Certainly we'll be back in touch with the various health professional schools and encouraging them as much as possible to incorporate this training video in their curriculum.
Very good. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, so this concludes the call. This is Dr. Howard Koh again. Thank you very, very much for joining us. We're thrilled to launch this effort in collaboration with you, and please let us know what you think of it, and let us know how you use it. Let us know if you think it can be improved in any way. And I just want to thank our Health and Human Services team here that worked so hard, Dr. Wright, Dr. Cohen, Ms. Jeeva, and our whole team here. Jennifer Buschick from our communications office is here as well, and she's been instrumental in helping with this launch. I'm grateful to all of you for making this happen. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.